Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Human Experience, and I hope that all of you had a great and prosperous week. Doctor, how are you and Lawrence?
Mr. Young, I'm doing great. Was wondering if the police had got you. I'm doing great. Ready to get started. How are you, Brother Yanni?
Doing absolutely great. Absolutely great. And, you know, the past 2 weeks ago, we started talking about the family unit and what's going on in our families. And we had a great session. We didn't get a chance to close out on that session. And we'll just pick up where we left off. Brother Lawrence, are you with us?
Yes, brother. How are you? And hope hi to all the listening audience. I give thanks and give praise.
Yes. So, you know, as we were talking last week about some of the things that has gone, has been going on in our families, family unit, rather. Things that have led to so much divorce and chaos in the family and breakdown of the children. Brother Lawrence, go to you. What is your take on why we're having so much heart in the family?
Right. It's multifaceted and institutionalized. At the same time, I wanted to talk about some of the process of healing that need to happen, and I wanted to identify that we, in the past, because of our collective being held captive, there was a clarity of us working together, and the church played a significant role as a gathering place, as an institution that we all would gather in, and the church itself playing, you know, a mediator and a place of ethics and consciousness for the family. So, you know, whatever problem was going on, if the father didn't have any work, the church would help to kind of recommend to some of the local businesses that a possibility for the father to find work. If the mother needed work or needed education or needed to go get some particular skill or just needed some financial support, the church will come together and raise some money to kind of put, you know, help that family or that mother be able to provide for, you know, for the children or the needs of the children or the needs of the family. That church has been broken down and it's only become a place where there's only collection for the church or for the function of the church. And that is a crying shame. And that weighs heavily in my mind as, you know, identifying the church as a tool that it must come out of the way if it's not going to transform itself into a useful tool. So I think the place of recovery, the place of healing has been organized away from us for whatever cause, by tactically or otherwise, have been organized away as that tool, as that gathering place, as a place of rescue or to save us from any and all, attack or breakdown that would happen in the family, and to give us the moral fortitude and the hope and aspiration that we once had. So I think we got to take a look at that, and we have to now start to raise question with the church, with that institution, to see if it has any use for us in this time. Give thanks.
Yes.
Brother Yanis?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, and so much going on today. Doctor, are you there?
Yeah, I was just listening to Brother Lawrence. I could feel his pain. Shalom, bang. How you doing? I could feel his pain. I just wanted him to sort of like use that as to generalize that into the bigger community so that people will understand that we have to guard against certain institutions in our community failing. Would you do that, Brother Lawrence?
I didn't hear you quite clear, Elder. Can you repeat again?
I say I wanted you to take that, what you had started with, and generalize to the larger community so that they can understand how we must take precautions against important institutions in our community failing, okay?
Yes. Well, if I understand the vein which and the energy in which you're pushing forward, we, you know, the issue here is that we have once had an entirely dependent and the degrading of the church to this next level that is now just a self-sustaining institution for its own purpose, not for a community purpose, not for the common interest, not as a gathering place, not as a place that we can run to, is rather sad. And we have now these multi-millionaire, who are heads of these churches and even the small churches. We have these pastors are now calling about that they want to use money to buy airplane instead of our collective reinvestment back into the community, to open up businesses in our community. The Nation of Islam, as you've spoken about in the past, there was an example of a church or a mosque or whatever brand name you want to call it. It was a place where we would go and, you know, and open up, you know, it was a leadership role it played in opening up these in businesses that interact with our lives. And the same thing goes for all of these other institutions. The banks that we used to, that were built, the local banks that were built, is no longer a community-based bank, even though they are a community-based bank, but they're still, the regulation, the governmental regulation comes down in such a way that it keeps the members alienated from it. It's just a place where you put your money to, for so-called safekeeping, for not even full safekeeping, but, you know, mentally safekeeping. So I'm hoping I'm helping in the direction that you're taking it. Other than that, I would love for you to bring it where you're suggesting.
Yes. If you look at there's a lot of uninformed people, Brother Lawrence, out in the community that's supposed to be conscious, and they're uninformed because they never ask themselves a question. They attack the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the black church. The Anglo-European church has never been a place of spirituality. It has been a place devoted primarily to symbol and form and marriage and death, christening and burial. The African church has, let me put it this way, if you would ask yourself a question, Brother Lawrence, if you take the African church out of African-American history, where do you think African-Americans would be today?
Not very far.
Not very far. And so that brings us to a point where unless we start to see the value of the church, and unless churchmen, I'm talking about people who, you know, Brother Lawrence, and you know this for a fact, that there have been people in our communities who have actually been in the church for four and five generations.
Yes.
The question to them is that what happened? What happened to the role of the church, and why isn't the church rebranding itself as the place to go when you have no place else to go like it used to be? When you needed someone to pray for you, when you needed someone to tell your daughter that she was wrong, when you needed someone to tell your husband that he needed to be more compassionate, more loving, that his wife, that she needed to come home instead of going to the bar. When we needed places like that, when there were sisters, the Eastern Stars, when there was choirs, I'm not talking about popular people. I don't care about them because they're not even on the radar. They're in the radar of the European, but they're not on our radar because they don't do anything for our community. Right there in Houston, Texas, there is ministers who have mega churches. One individual flies around on a helicopter because he has to be at different places on Sunday, and he uses the helicopter because he can't get there in a timely manner in a car. You know, I applaud that because that shows that he is actually aware of the importance of his role as a shepherd. Mm. But what happens to our churches, and the reason they're being attacked right now, is that our churches forgot their role as the moral and spiritual upholder. They were the spiritual bastion for our people, but they were supposed to reinforce the morals of the family. And our families were always willing to tell our children the truth. And one of the truths of today, where people are really, really not being very, very forthcoming about and not being very, very candid about, is that we don't need political correctness to know how to treat the people who have different sexual orientations in our community. We was doing it before the word sexual orientation came up. We're doing it now. And we don't need smart-ass white boys and girls telling us how to behave in our community. And we need to get that, and they need to get that. We need to go back to basics, and the church needs to come up to snuff and start doing its job and supporting the family. Because if the family is going to survive, it's going to be strong, it needs the support of the church, and the church needs the support of the school and the family needs the support of the school, and the school needs the support of the family. What are we doing? We are actually attempting to do something where it's like we're going to repair a car, but we take our tool kit, put a lock on it, put it in somebody else's trunk or someone's car, and tell them, I'll see you when I see you, and we're going to repair a car. We're not going to do anything. We need to go back to basics and understand the role of the church in strengthening the family, in upholding the family, in giving men permission to be fathers and husbands and men, in giving women permission to be mothers and wives women. We don't need to be taught this. We taught the world this. We need to get back to basics, and the only way that we're going to get back to basics and strengthen the family is that we're going to have to take up some of the office to build a box gardening in our community, to take some of this open space in our community and start a community garden, to take some of the space in our community that's there in the churches and have open nights for youth and elders and people to meet and play bingo and all of that kind of stuff. Otherwise, condemning the church, criticizing the church, or criticizing anything is not going to get us where we want to do. How can we get them to get on board with what is happening? Because all over the world, things and people are changing. We need to get with that change. I say.
Absolutely. They had another question that someone posed, and the question is, how do you feel that the women's movement in the 70s played a part in our family problems we have today?
And my thoughts related to that and to the caller's question, the question came in, is that yes, there is some influence related to the independent, but I think it all rests on the desire to provide the complicated society in which we live in, that on the times whereby we needed two income to pay the bills. And that's the stress that came relative to the women's movement, that it liberated women not to feel guilty about needing to go out and work to be able to make a contribution into the collective house, for the family. So I don't necessarily see it in a wholeheartedly negative way, though it does contribute to the stress on the day-to-day running of the family. And women development and women education is a necessary part of the collective world development. It's only when we have to struggle against the system, the governmental repression, I have to say, in some ways, that forces us out, that we have to, food clothing and shelter is dependent on us have to all go to work so that the children, you know, it's not seen that it's the nurturing of the children is the most primary thing of the human being. Instead, it is the our basic survival is locked into this issue that we have to physically go out and work, and that it's not enough that one family member goes out and do it and sacrifice for the collective good of the family. We have to we need everybody, including the children. They will, if they have their way, they will put back the children to go to school and to go into the mines and to the fields and to wherever they have to go, or the factories, and continue to work. So that's where the crime happens. At the same time, relative to the church, what the elder was speaking to, I'm at the point that yes, the church must lead. At the same time, they have to make a decision. If they're not going to lead, they got to get out of the way so something else can come, so a new evolution can come into being, because it is still the number one place of our people where they gather on Sunday. At the same time, it's only one day that relative to the workforce and relative to how the church itself up, that it only serves its members only one day, and unless the one day that they put their hands out to raise funds for its own survival, and which is interesting. So he has to lead, or he has to get out of the way. Give thanks.
Yes, thanks. The thing is that, Brother Lawrence, if what you say is true, and I believe it is true, we only need one day. Mm. If we could take advantage of that one day, and we don't even need that entire day, if we could take advantage of the hours between 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock on each Sunday, each first day of the week, to teach our people right knowledge, to bring them into an awareness of their beauty as black people, to bring them into an awareness of their power as a people, economic power, social power, religious power, educational, political power. If we use that hour effectively, the whole, it would be a game changer. And what do I mean by effectively? First of all, a people who know who they are know in fact and in reality that the 14th Amendment did not free us.
Mm-hmm.
That the only thing that's going to free us is that we're going to have to dig down deep and cash that check in the bank of humanity that says we are sovereign people. And those people who ran us down, kidnapped us, put us in the bottom of ships and brought us to this land, have not the ability to free us from what has happened to us. It is us who must seek our own place in the sun. And that means to seek to be a sovereign people. It is the responsibility of the churches to teach our people how to be free, as in the nation of Israel, where they taught their people that all the nations around you, they have their culture and they have their land and they have what they want. Where is your land? You must take it. And I don't mean to go out and take a gun or take this and that, but you must take it by being conscious of that the God you serve is the God of your people and not the God of a foreigner. That's number one. Number two is this. We can go back to the 70s and blame the women's movement. We can point a finger and say this is where the deterioration began. But there was something else that was a part of that. What was part of that is that the people who acquiesced to the notion that women needed to be liberated from their men, the women who acquiesced to that saw that as just a part of them becoming full citizens of the United States of America. Not that they were going to be different in their homes and with their husbands and with their children, but that in a political sense, that they would be recognized, that they would get equal pay and stuff like that. So we must separate that out. Those women who wanted to sleep with women, those women who wanted to be men, those women who wanted to have the power that they thought men had over both men and women, we're not talking to or about them. They are who they are. They do what they do, and we know that. what we have an entire world to govern.
Yes.
We, the release of Africans in the United States of America from the bondage of the 14th Amendment, where they can think globally and as a free people, is the end of every problem that we have. But, and this is a valid but, absolutely, for all humanity. And so we have to start seeking the teachers right in our own community. Brother Yaniv, Brother Lawrence, and they will hook you up with other teachers. We've got to get busy. We've got to plant gardens in our lawns. Instead of having nice lawns, we have nice gardens for lawns, box gardens, windowsill gardens, mason jar gardens, in our house, growing our own food. We've got to learn how to be independent and sovereign again. And to do that, you have to come out of this thing of blaming somebody. Yes, they did wrong. It wasn't right what they did. Oh, it wasn't right to kill, rape, maim, shoot, hang, all of that. So fine. It wasn't. But what we're going to do is say, right now, we're going to actualize ourselves by doing some positive things in our own community. And the first thing is, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Loving one another, loving ourselves, and being hospitable to one another. We got to start there, right in our own home, I say.
Well, sure. I totally agree with that, Taylor. I'm close.
Yes. Does anyone, Wow, you know, that's, do we have any sisters on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Shalom to everyone.
I
came in about 5:40, somewhere around there, and I heard the brother speaking about the role of the church in our community, and it just saddens me. Because before I left the Christian church, it had become completely separate from our communities, and for our people, it had become a place of entertainment rather than a place of worship. It became a feel-good place, somewhere where I could go and just feel good for a couple of hours, but when I leave there, whatever problems or issues or concerns or matters that I have had were still there, and none of them were being addressed. And as I look at the churches, especially the church that I formerly attended, it sits in a community that is poverty-stricken. It's not one of the worst areas in the city, but it is a poverty-stricken area. And there's no communication, nothing going on. None of the church members sit on the board. There's no liaison between the church and the schools. I heard the brother mention the bank. It's like these are all separate entities trying to uphold this one community. And I just did not see how that could continue to flourish. You know, and that's why you steady see the degradation continuing to decline in the community, because there's no connection between the main branches of their resources, the church, the school, and the banking and the commerce system. There's no connection between those entities. The brother was also speaking, doctor was also speaking about our spiritual connection and our people coming together and knowing who they are and reclaiming who they are. And when I look back at the church, that is not what's being taught. And I feel that there should be some conversations going on with these pastors. And, you know, we need to have a meeting with them and put some of these things on the table, because right now, they're not working, in my opinion, they're not working for the betterment of the communities that they are supposed to be serving. Because you see these churches, they're steady rebuilding, they're steady growing, they're steady getting more members, but the communities that they sit in are steady declining. You know, my thing is, if you're all worshiping, if you're all worshiping the same God, why do you need five or six different churches in the same community? I'm talking about mega churches, all in the same community, if you're all worshiping the same God. Looks like you all ought to be able to get on the same accord. So this might, this must not be for the people. This must be for an individual.
Yes, and with that being said, we only have maybe 3 seconds left. I just wanted to invite everyone to the show next week, and we're going to finish this because it's an important part to us moving and having understanding in our community, if we ever going to learn something. We thank all of you who joined us, and we'll see you next week, same time. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Yeah, bless you all.
Shalom.
Until next time, Elder.
Shalom.
Shalom.